I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. Osama bin Laden is gone, but does his death necessarily spell the demise of al-Qaeda? Fawaz Jerjes is director of the Middle East Center at the London School of Economics. He's also author of the forthcoming book, The Rise and Fall of al-Qaeda. Jerjes says that bin Laden's death has weakened al-Qaeda, even though bin Laden wasn't the operational head.
He was the face of the global jihadist movement. He was an inspiring figure, a motivating force. I think it sends a powerful message to many al-Qaeda's followers, and also it sends many messages to the local branches about America's basically determination to fight all the way to defeat this particular insidious force.
Although in this case, they've had 10 years to plan for his demise because he knew that he was a wanted man, wanted by the United States and others as well. So they were obviously being very patient, knowing that the United States, even if it was to get its man, it took an awful long time.
You're absolutely correct. Now we're not talking about al-Qaeda because al-Qaeda has been crippled in the last 10 years. Al-Qaeda Central in the Afghanistan-Pakistan theater is down to almost 200 fighters as opposed to 4,000 fighters on the morning after 9/11. Most of its field lieutenants and mid-level managers have been either killed or incarcerated. Al-Qaeda does not have the capacity to carry out spectacular attacks along the 9/11 lines. The threat now, though, has become graver. Now you have the Taliban in Pakistan, which there was no Taliban on the morning after 9/11. You have al-Qaeda in Iraq. You have al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula in Yemen. And you have also homegrown terrorism and extremism, a byproduct of the American global war on terror. My point is, even though the removal of Osama bin Laden from the scene represents a significant psychological development, it does not change the strategic landscape, which is a byproduct of what America did after 9/11.
It sounds like what you're saying is that al-Qaeda, at least in different forms, including through the Taliban, might be even more powerful now than it was after 9/11?
No, not really. I think the threats that have mutated basically have become graver than what al-Qaeda represented on the morning after 9/11. Al-Qaeda was an insidious threat, a serious threat. But homegrown extremism is basically, again, a byproduct to a large extent of the American involvement first in Iraq and now in Afghanistan and Pakistan. That is, what I am trying to say is that we must begin to disengage militarily from Muslim societies and Muslim lands and take into account that the aspirations of millions and millions of Arabs and Muslims are the same as the aspirations of Americans, and that Osama bin Laden has never spoken for a critical segment of Arab or Muslim public opinion. The universal aspirations of millions of Arabs that we have seen in the last few months basically clash organically with the ideology of Osama bin Laden.
If, though, the United States does agree, as you said, that the Arab Spring movement throughout, for instance, Tunisia and Egypt has also changed the landscape and weakened groups like al-Qaeda, isn't it possible to imagine the current authorities in those countries as possibly potentially failing, therefore giving way to softer states, which could give way to more al-Qaeda influence later on?
You're raising a very important question about the desire of the remnants of al-Qaeda. Remember, we're not talking about a unified movement with command and control. The remnants of al-Qaeda will likely try to exploit any particular power vacuums and social and political turmoil. But I would argue the so-called Arab Spring have turned Arab civil societies have become much more vigilant. And the reality is most of the Arab armies and Muslim armies remain intact and unified. And this is why you need a new social contract between Western societies, not just America, and Arab and Muslim civil societies, because after all, we have seen it firsthand how the aspiration, the universal aspirations of millions of Arabs and Muslims don't differ from the aspirations of millions of Americans. By having a new social contract with Arab and Muslim societies, by trying to disengage militarily from Arab and Muslim lands, by trying to resolve simmering regional conflicts like the Arab-Israeli conflict, I think this would be the final nail not only in the coffin of Al-Qaeda Central, which has already been crippled, but also in the coffin of extremism broadly defined.
Thank you, Fawaz Gerges, director of the Middle East Center at the London School of Economics and author of the forthcoming book, The Rise and Fall of Al-Qaeda. Thanks again.
Pleasure.